Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Prince D, and with me, as always, the man formerly known as Timbo Slice Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to follow, like, and subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your pods. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15% on every order you make. On today's episode, we bring you two guests. First, we talked to an old friend of ours about his upcoming amateur fight, his mental preparation, and choosing a sparring partner wisely. Then we talked to a Hong Kong movie star about her newest martial arts flick premiering on Netflix today. All that plus making picks for UFC Walker vs. Hill and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it!
It's Timmy B, Prince D, Fight Insight.
All right, so we've got the two guests today, but first we're going to bring on our good friend whom we trained with for years. You know, when he was just starting Muay Thai, now he's fighting in an amateur fight on April 2nd. It's the Tri-City Fighting Series main event in Binghamton Center in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. Man, love this guy. He was born in China, came to Canada at 14 years of age. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast our first guest,
William Quick Bang Wang.
Hi.
What's up, Will?
Hello.
How's everything?
I'm great. I'm doing great.
All right. Well, it's been so long since we last saw each other. Like, guys, if you guys don't know, we've known Will for a long time now, and he's become from boys to men. That's all I can say. Right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's accurate. Yeah.
Not only has, since we met Will, not only has he grown in size and skill, but definitely grown in musculature. Will, you used to be like a little tiny thin guy. And
I know.
You're a very big boy. What weight class are you fighting in?
This one will be 140, same as the last one. But I put on some muscle.
Yeah, like a lot of muscle, man. If you go follow Will on Instagram. I'm gonna put it on the bottom here, and it'll be in the show notes. But you're at William_Wang. So go follow you. You've got lots of great videos, man. The first question, William. You've got the main event coming up on April 2nd. Tell us about this fight. How did this all get lined up? How come you're the main event?
So, my last fight was like 2-3 years ago already. Since the beginning of pandemic, and then I have to some things happened in the pandemic that I now train in a new gym called Southside Muay Thai. And I've been training very consistent with them, and they got me this fight that's like a very good show. There's a big venue, lots of great people fighting on that card too. And I'll be fighting the main events because they line up according to experience.
Okay, and because you're the main event, I'm putting the poster on the screen now so you can see it. But here's my buddy William Wang. So that's a nice poster. And so you mentioned fighting out of Southside Muay Thai. That's your new gym, right? That you're training at. Lots of great videos there. It looks like you've got lots of great people that you're training with.
Absolutely.
When we had another MMA fighter out of Las Vegas on our podcast, his name is Chris Wartime Rios. And he talked about, you know, he's moved from gym to gym. He's gone to a few gyms and he said, look, you got to go to a gym where you feel like you're going to learn the most, where you feel most comfortable. So whenever I see you and I see that you've moved gyms a few times, I always think like, yeah, here's a guy who like you've moved gyms because you're trying to find the right fit for you, right?
Yes.
So what is important about a gym for you? Like, what do you look for in a gym? And why is Southside a great gym for you?
So first of all, I look for their fight style, their training style, their teaching style, you know. So, of course, you have to learn a style that really suits you, that utilize what you're really good at.
Okay.
And then the teaching style, you just different gym have different learning methods. you know, they put you through different kind of training. Some do more back work, some do more pad work, some do more drill sparring. You know, different gyms have different systematics of training.
Okay.
Yeah, and then of course I look at also like really big thing for me is the facility. Like I personally love like big gyms that they have lots of people coming. It can build up a really good like team community.
Yep.
Of course you go into the gym with you want lots of equipment, different stuff to play around every day, keeping everything fresh.
Yep.
But most importantly, I look at the trainers there, like the coaches, especially the head coach, who is Mikey Perez for me right now.
Nice.
He is really, really like great at teaching and inspiring others.
Nice.
He taught the class really well, and you know, all the other coaches, they look up to him. That's how the whole team assembly because of
the
coach.
But Will, you must miss training with us though, because I remember when you used to train with us, I was constantly putting you in like really awkward situations. Like literally, I would try and choke you out in the men's washroom. In the washroom, and Will be like, "Prince, I don't even do jits," and I'm like, "You need to know this stuff." And he was in the middle of the toilet. I would constantly do it. I mean, you got to be ready. You got to be prepared, Will. You got to have that fighter mentality.
Parking lot.
That's it. Moving vehicles. I still did it anyway. So just want to throw that out there. So Will, you're talking about the people. People's important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The people I train with, you know, you see them every day. You know, I had a great time in Pound for Pound training with you guys as well.
Yeah.
That was a great time.
But it's, you know, it's all love, right? Like everybody's like all together. We do stuff with Filipino TV, Will. And so one day we will get out to Southside Muay Thai to do some filming stuff, and we'll film you training out there. We'll try to get you on TV. Yeah, man. So you talked a little bit about sparring. So I want to show you a video. Have you seen the videos of Sean Strickland sparring with people or Kevin Holland? These are two UFC fighters. They beat the crap out of their partners.
Oh my God.
Like, they hit them really hard. They're like, I mean, it's beyond crazy. Here's a quick video of Sugar Sean O'Malley talking about the sparring footage that you see with Sean Strickland. So just listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't spar him. The dude's a fucking psychopath. He wants to kill someone. Like, the dude sucks. Like, I don't even understand. Like, if it's a fake gimmick, then it's like, well, why would you go that way? And if that's just who he is, seems just like a piece of shit, honestly. I don't know.
So that's Sugar Sean O'Malley talking about this guy and the way he spars. It looks like he's just killing people and fighting people. Will, what's your take on it? When you're doing sparring and getting in preparation for your fights, do you want to go really hard? Do you want people to be a little bit more respectful in the sparring? What's your deal?
So there are always going to be people like that, like going hard and just coming to a sparring full of ego and stuff. For me, when I don't have fights coming up, when I'm in the learning stage, I like to go light. Go more technical sparring, just play around so you get to practice more new stuff. You're not always in that like anxious state that you like really try to survive or, you know, try to hurt people. So you actually relax and learn, try to work on what you did in the drills, in the pads, transfer them into the sparring. But if I have fight coming up, like these days, I would like go pick up it a little bit harder, and just so I can get closer to the actual fighting. So when you get in the ring, you're not like in the fight, you're not actually like getting surprised because you haven't took like a hard hit for a long time. You get shook.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
I was wondering if it was going to be the opposite, where you'd go harder, like when you don't have a fight coming up, and then just before a fight, you go a little bit lighter, so you protect yourself, but you're doing the opposite, so it's more real. So yeah, okay, I get that. Here's a weird question. This is your 9th amateur fight. You've been fighting for forever. Have you told your parents 15. that you are a Muay Thai fighter yet?
No, I haven't. They still don't know.
Okay, hold on. So when we used to train together and you were like training a lot and then you started to pick up some fights, I remember I was driving you home one day or something, and I remember somehow you told me, yeah, my parents don't know I fight. When are you going to tell your parents that you're fighting? You're like going to be a famous fighter soon.
I still remember, like, in my very first fight, but I talked to one of the other person who's also fighting that day. He asked me why my parents or my friends not them right here. I was like, if my parents gonna watch me fight, I want them watch me on from TV. I want them to watch me win. I want to watch them being a superstar. I want them to know that me, not the me right now, still progressing, still learning, still getting better. You know, I want them to see the me at the top.
That's a freaking genius answer, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But Will, man, I feel like we just dry snitched on each other just because now your parents are gonna probably watch this podcast because they're avid Fight Insight podcast subscribers and probably have t-shirts also, and they're gonna see, oh my gosh, Will is in there. That's my son. That's my son. He's fighting. He's a fighter now.
That's cool. Yeah. Would it give you more pressure if they were there? Like, would, like, mental pressure if they were in the stands? Would you be like added pressure?
Probably would be a bit, but like for me, when it comes to the day of fighting, I like completely like zoom in. I like tunnel vision. Like I don't care about anything else, but just to make sure everything lines up correctly, everything like I do like is correct until I get in the ring, until the fight finish, I'm totally zoomed in. Nice, I don't care that much about anything else.
All right, well, that's cool. Let me get then to some mental stuff with you. Mental. I wanted to ask you, like, you know, you're talking about having tunnel vision. We've had other guests on the show, Bam Bam Barbarena. He talks about that, about being laser focused, and like he doesn't even hear the crowd or anything. It's just focus. Here's someone. This is a fighter, B Nguyen. She's a Vietnamese American fighter. She just lost at 1FC, and here's her after the fight talking a little bit about her mental status. I want you to listen to this.
Hey guys, so as you saw, I lost yet again, another decision. I've been falling to these decisions and I need to figure it out. If you watch my fights, you know I start slow and always pull it out in the third round, but it's always too little too late. I need to figure out why I'm not showing up to these fights the way I know I can, the way I can train, the way my skill is set up. But
all right, could you hear that?
Yes, I heard.
So she's talking about, and you see this with some fighters, they talk about like how they just, like, their mental thing isn't there for some reason, they slow start, whatever. And that has been her problem, you know, so she sees it and she knows. What do you do about that, Will? Like, I know I've watched fighters in the past too, that seem like they don't have that killer instinct. They don't, you know, get into it right away. How is that a factor for you, or how do you deal with that?
The few days before fight, you gotta get a lot of nerves and anxiety. You're gonna battle that, of course. Or sometimes you're in a rush that you didn't get enough time to like warm up, stretch up. You got rushed into a ring. That happens too.
Yeah.
So there are lots of things, especially if you are fighting outside of the country you're from. Your diet can be off. You know. Schedule can be off. You're gonna feel not so well. And for me, the day before I would try to like really focus, and the couple hours before, like I said, I just zoom in, like nothing else in the world matters, and try to get that focus, so you know at least something from me that I can go right.
What happens if your parents tell you that they need you to go grocery shopping the day of your fight? Like how?
I tell them to wait a bit. Maybe I'll do it after my fight.
I mean, have you ever showed up home and you got like a black eye or something? Like, do they ever see injuries on you and wonder what the hell is wrong with my kid?
There's once that I think that was a tournament. I fought and then the shirt I brought and the jacket I brought got stolen. So I have to drove home like half naked with all the scratches, like bruises on my face. God. And then I drove home and then they thought I got mugged or something. I made up something to cover it up.
What?
Yeah, it's always like that.
Yeah, always like that. Like,
just put the blame on like a pack of squirrels, because that's a real problem in Toronto. Like, she'd understand if you told her that. Like, you know, just tell her that you ran straight into a fist, and you were doing your morning jog and you ran straight into a fist, and it's not saying a lie; it's half truth. Right.
Man, that's crazy. Man, I'll tell you, like, you know, like watching like that B Nguyen video that we were showing, and I hope people could hear it on because I know the volume on that one was a little bit lower, but essentially she's saying I don't show up and all that. It's tough, man. You see fighters and you see people that don't bring it right away, or you see people that don't seem to have that killer instinct. But Will, when people go to watch you on, and I'm going to put the photo up one more time here, so if you're, and I'll put all the details in the show notes on YouTube and on Spotify, wherever, but it's Saturday, April 2nd, Tri-City Fight Series presents Resurrection. It's at the Benjamin's Center in Kitchener, Saturday, April 2nd. So go get your tickets, go figure out how to go there. April 2nd, that's where people can see you fight, William. It's going to be a great show, man. You're the main event. When you win and you like knock the dude out, make sure you say Fight Insight Podcast.
I'll get a shirt. I'm on there.
Oh my God. Yeah. We got to get you a shirt. We have shirts too. Actually, thank you, Will. If people want tank tops or shirts, just message us. We have them for sale. Yes. Will, we'll get you a shirt, man. What size are you? You're like a large, medium?
Medium.
Okay, we'll get you a medium. Make sure you shout us out when you win.
Or Will, when you knock him out, like just pull it out of your Muay Thai shorts, just straight, like instead of as a jock strap, you just have the shirt in there and be like, podcast.
Yeah.
And it'll look awesome. We'll get you a white t-shirt too.
Yeah.
Keep it small so I can keep it stuck in.
We definitely want, and Will, we definitely want you back on the podcast to talk to you later as well. I know there's people that are watching this podcast, that are going to be meeting you for the first time, but we want to have you back on after you win your fight so that we can talk to you about the whole experience and stuff. I think people are interested to see like how amateur fights happen and how that goes, right? So we want to talk to you again. For people that are here for the podcast to watch Juju Chan, she's going to be at the end of this episode. So we pre-recorded it. It's going to be out later. Will, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to talk to you about some UFC fights though, okay?
Yeah.
You can stick around a little bit?
Sure.
All right, nice. Before we get to the UFC fights, guys, I just want to talk about a few of our sponsors. You know that we've got MiddaySquares.com.
Yes.
You use code FIGHTINSIGHT15. Will, you should get these, man. These are healthy chocolate bars, so they keep you health. Keep you satiated during the day. They're healthy. Check out
chocolate bars.
Yeah. Wait, what are you eating?
Oh my gosh, that's not
part of the diet. I have chocolate bar on my desk all day.
That's not okay, but that's not midday. Yeah, you gotta get midday.
Yeah, all right. I want
that. This is wakewater.ca, guys. You can go to wakewater.ca. They actually have a giveaway going on their Instagram right now. If you go to Wakewater, they've got a thing going on, and you can use code FIGHTINSIGHT at wakewater.ca to save 10% on your orders there as well. Prince, we've got one more.
Yeah, and also one more, guys. Don't forget to check out Hula Cleaning Services. Contact Hula Cleaning Services for all your carpet, fitness, commercial, and construction cleaning needs. You can find them at www.hulacleaning.com.
Yes. William, we also want to announce that next week on the show, We've got another Toronto-based person. We've got Toronto Top Team. It's a big MMA gym in Toronto. We've got Malcolm Gordon's striking coach. So Malcolm Gordon is a UFC flyweight, just won his second fight in a row due to strikes. His coach is named Efren Naruzi. He's going to be on the podcast next week. So we're going to talk to a striking coach that deals with MMA fighters, talk about a whole bunch of things, UFC related and whatever. So stay tuned for that.
And he'll be our first striking coach to be on the podcast coach. Too, right? So it's going to be huge.
First striking coach. All right, let's talk about UFC that is coming up this weekend. It is UFC Walker versus Hill. I have no poster for this event. You know why? Because this main event is not even what the main event was supposed to be.
Nope.
So it was supposed to be Rafael Fiziev versus RDA. Rafael Dos Anjos. That fight got canceled because Fiziev had some visa issues and couldn't get in. Mm-hmm. So now we've got a very weird main event, but we've got a weird card in general. It's kind of a light card. If we start down at the prelims, you've got some people. The first fight, there is a Canadian fighter on the card. So we'll put a picture up here just so that people can see what she looks like. For no other reason. There you go, William. That is Diana Belbita. She is a Romanian-Canadian. Prince, you're not even looking at the screen at the photo.
Okay. No. I'm looking at the card. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Oh,
there you go. All right. Yep. That's the UFC fighter. She is fighting on the card against Gloria DePaula. So, of course, we're going to go for the Canadian.
Definitely.
Diana. Next fight that you may know, Chaz Skelly is fighting. We've got a women's bantamweight fight. I'll put a picture of this fighter for no reason other than just for informational purposes.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jessica Rose Clark. Prince, thoughts, comments?
Yeah, that's, you know what, she looks... Kind of looks a little bit like Lod, Aspen Lod, isn't she?
No, she's all tatted up, man.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying, though. But I'm just saying, like, minus tats, sorry.
So anyway, she's fighting Stephanie Yeager. She's a big personality, so she's a good fighter. She's on the card. You get to the main event, Joaquin Buckley, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. You got Jim Miller fighting his, like, 1 millionth fight. Jim Miller, how many fights has this guy had? Prince,
it says 33 wins and 16 losses. Holy crap.
He's had 50 fights, 50 professional fights. My
gosh.
Jim Miller. This dude is crazy. 33-16. So he's on the card. So watch out for Jim Miller.
38.
Main event is Johnny Walker versus Jamahal Hill.
Yep.
This is a weird main event. Johnny Walker is, very well known for being flashy and exciting, but now he's only won one fight in his last four. He beat Ryan Spann, but before that hadn't won since 2019. And he's fighting Jamahal Hill, who's a great dude. This guy, I want to have him on the podcast for sure. He's 9-1.
Yep.
His loss was that crazy one where the guy popped his arm in half, like snapped his arm. But then he came back with a crazy KO finish of Jimmy Crute in December. Yep. He's fighting again. Prince, who do you have on this fight and how?
I'm going with Hill. I'm going with Hill, and I'm going to say I don't even think it's going to last the first round. I think it's going to see a knockout by the first. I have high expectations on Hill just because of that Crute knockout. Like literally I had my money on Crute. I thought Crute was going to take it, but man, that knock just came out of nowhere. I just think this kid's got a bright future. I got my money on Hill. What do you got?
Will, who do you got? I know you don't know either of these people, right?
Yeah.
You don't hold on. Yeah. You don't watch MMA at all, really?
I watch a bit. So when I hang out with friends, we go like some sport bars that we watch on the TV on the Saturday night or something.
Wait, your friends know you fight though, right?
Yes. Yes, they do. Most of my friends are like from the gyms too. Yeah.
Okay, you gotta tell us who knows and who doesn't, because we want to blow your cover or anything like that, right? So your parents don't know, your some of your friends do know, like this, do your teachers know that you fight?
I don't think so. I still kept in touch with some friends in high school. They know, yeah. some of them mm-hmm. know that the ones that are really close to me, they know that I'm fighting, but most of them, not so much.
But it might be a shock, right? Like some girls might be like, oh, I like Will, he's a nice guy. And then they don't realize that you're like a fighter. Like, I mean...
Listen, Will, that just adds to your mystery, man. So when you roll up in there, you've got cuts and all over the place. Like, Will, what happened? Like, what happened on Saturday? And just, I don't want to talk about it. I'm just doing stuff. And then they're just like, oh my gosh. Like,
what's wrong with this guy?
Will? Like, he's got such a good family and he's getting beaten up and stuff.
For the fight, I am going with Hill. I think Hill gets it done. I don't think he does it in the first, though. I think Walker's too explosive. I think Hill has to like wait him out a little bit in the first, maybe even push it into the second or third. I think he finishes him in the third.
Okay.
I think you let Walker get a little bit, you let him shoot his load, if you will, you know, expel all his energy. And then in the third, Hill takes him out, finishes him. I will say finishes him by strikes.
Okay, there you go.
That's the big prediction. Yeah, shoot the load, then finish the strikes. What else do we got for today? I think we're good, man. We're going to go into our interview with Juju Chan. Mm-hmm. So Juju Chan, Will, she is a action movie star from Hong Kong. So you're from China. Yep. She's from Hong Kong. There was a TV show on Netflix called Wu Assassins. She was one of the stars of that show. Here she is. Here. Nope, that's not
her. That's not her.
Okay. Well, I don't have the photo of Juju anymore, but you will see her in a few seconds on this podcast. We do some nunchucks with her. It's a very exciting interview. And this podcast comes out on Thursday. That's the same day on Netflix that her movie comes out. It is called Fistful of Vengeance. Will, do you have Netflix?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Of course.
Tomorrow, which is today when people see this podcast, check out Fistful of Vengeance. It's going to be an amazing action movie. Man, I'm telling you that stuff is great. So watch that movie. We are going to go to the interview with Juju now. Aside from that, Prince, we will see people next week.
See you guys That's it. Enjoy this interview with Juju Chan and A Fistful of Vengeance. Watch it on Netflix.
Will, before we go, if your parents see this interview by chance, if your parents see this interview, what would you like to say to your parents right now? You better apologize.
Wish me luck.
You're not going to say sorry that you've been lying to them for like 10 years?
Wow, he's for the greater cause, I guess.
Will,
all right. Yeah, he does explain why, so I feel it's good. Yeah, it's for the greater good. That's fine. Yes, Timmy B, Princey D, fight in sight. Yeah. I can't believe it, Prince. Today we bring to you one of the greatest action movie stars of our time. This Hong Kong-born American actress, martial artist, model, singer, and writer has competed for the Hong Kong Taekwondo team, fought in Thai boxing championships, and is also trained in judo, Shotokan karate, wushu, hanga, Wing Chun, and nunchaku. Starring in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny, she may be most well known to you as that badass triad Zahn in Netflix's incredible mystical action series, Wu Assassins. I love that show. She returns to the role in the next sequel movie. It's called Fistful of Vengeance, and it is releasing today when we drop this podcast on Netflix, February 17th. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast,
Juju Chan!
Hi, everyone. Thanks.
Hey, Juju, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in a hotel room right now, just shooting a film. So, yep, I have new tattoos.
Yes, very good. They look good. I saw on your Instagram, and anybody that doesn't follow Juju Chan, you have to go follow her on Instagram. Your life looks pretty insane. You are normally in Hong Kong going to all these beautiful spots, but on your birthday, belated happy birthday to you, you were flying back to LA and you're filming something new.
This time is an independent action film. Okay. It's a bit last minute, but the role seems a bit fun. And I've been away from LA for a while, and I'm like, ah, cool, I should come back, because my place was just empty here. And yeah, I'm like, okay, so very last minute, and nice. I flew on the day before my birthday and on Chinese New Year.
Yeah, excellent. That's crazy. You are, as we said, we're so excited to have you, and mm-hmm. especially because of Fistful of Vengeance. Now, Wu Assassins, one of my mm-hmm. favorite shows of all time. And I have to say, the action mm-hmm. scenes in that show are amazing. Like the choreography, I love the way that they mm-hmm. always pan back on the action shots. Like you can see all the action taking place.
Yes.
So yes. Tell us a little bit about Fistful of Vengeance and where that fits within Wu Assassins.
Fistful of Vengeance is a standalone movie for Wu Assassins. So the story actually doesn't really continue from where we left off, because from the, if you have watched the TV series, it left off where Zan became like the big deal, right?
Yeah,
so I guess, because in case some people haven't watched it, you should go watch it before you watch Fistful of Vengeance. You have the backstory of it. So this one, this Fistful of Vengeance, is a standalone story. So talking about mostly about revenge of the Jenny's character. So Ico's character, Louis' character, and Lauren's character is the center of the story, how they revenge the killing of their sister, Jenny. So and I am, of course, there to make trouble.
Yeah.
fights with Ico. It's a fun project. We shot last year in Bangkok during still pandemic, but yeah, right. It's like a very different experience filming. But it's all good. We managed to film it, everything, have lots of action, and we even have the Thai fight team in it mm-hmm. too, working with Eco's team. So yeah.
Now it looks amazing. And I mean, if you haven't seen the show, you have to, but your character is pretty incredible. Yeah. I did want to ask you one question. Did mm-hmm. did you actually get your hair cut like that with all the shaved hair? That is that really your wow. hair?
Yeah, it's my idea. Because when I first got the part, I should tell you that, like, the backstory, that when I auditioned for the TV series, I was actually auditioning for Ying Ying's role.
She's the spirit, the ghost that helps Ico.
So, and then after the audition, I went for a callback, and then they really like me. The showrunner, John Wirth, really like me, really want to use me, but just want me to be in, like, playing another role. So he created this new role for me as the bodyguard. So we don't actually know the direction for her at that moment, but they just really want me to be involved in this TV series. So I created with the stylist, the fight choreographer, the wardrobe team, everyone, to come up with this amazing character, which I really love.
Yeah.
To them, I really want Zan to pop, you know, and although at the first few episodes, she's not really talking much, and she's kind of standing behind, overseeing everything, but you will still want to be able to notice her. She, although she's not talking, you really notice her at the back. I had this cool idea of like trying this new haircut, and they were like, cool, if you want to shave parts of your hair off and you're okay with it, we are cool with it. I'm like, yeah, of course.
Juju, you know, I gotta say, like, when you, I guess the first fight scene, the kitchen scene, like, that was phenomenal. Like, oh my goodness, like, how did you guys shoot that? That was like, in getting on top of the table, I was like, oh my goodness, dude, that was just a crazy scene. I just couldn't believe that was all like all that came down.
I have to say, I'm very impressed with our fight choreographer, Dan Risotto. He is amazing. He worked with me. He knows my strength, because he knows I'm like taekwondo, doing taekwondo kicks, love using my legs, doing stuff. And He loves to use the environment to create all these amazing action, which is exactly what I always love, because I think for a cool action scene to work right now, we also need to make use of the surrounding area, and that's like make it more dynamic and unique. So it was so fun being at the stunt room, watching him choreograph my piece. And I was actually there doing the previs with him for this fight, for all the fights in Wu Assassins. So he was like, I've never seen any actors doing the previs, because usually a stunt double or the action team does it. Right, the only one who's like always in the stunt room with us and want to do your own previs. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, because doing it, I'm also working with you and getting familiar with the moves, and also putting some of my creative juice in it as well. So it's more like, you know, a collaboration. So I love the process, and it's really fun, and the result is cool, and I love that long take. Mm-hmm. So we did some rehearsals. We had like a few days before to practice it, walk it through, film the previs, and then at the actual location, we actually was in an actual kitchen, and the kitchen countertop and everything is just higher. So I have to jump higher. So it's a little bit different from when we were rehearsing in this stage, but it's all cool. It worked out, and we shot it really quickly. We shot that scene in like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It's amazing, Juju. I love it. I love the show, and I do feel too like your character Zahn really sets you up, because it was such an iconic character, and I feel like then I saw you in the movie Jiu-Jitsu with Nicolas Cage, and your character kind of had like a badass style again in that one, and I'm like, yeah, this is like the Juju Chanzito of movies, you know, like you've kind of developed this character that you can bring into other movies. So I love it. I'm so excited for Fistful of Vengeance.
And because I had never had like hair that short before Wu Assassins, so it was like really a big change for me, and I love it.
Yeah.
And then I kept it. I kept the blonde. I even kept the blonde after that.
Yeah.
So now I just let my hair grow a bit so I can have a different style. So in Fistful of Vengeance, my hair is a bit longer. It also makes sense because the story actually few years passed.
Okay. And,
you know, this Fistful of Vengeance. So my hair can be longer. So I have a newer hairstyle in that one too.
I think so, because that's why you're spinning, right?
Yeah, dude, like there's a preview where you're like a helicopter, you look like a massive fidget spinner.
Doing all the spins and flying. So it's fun.
It's amazing, Juju. And I mean, for people that don't know you, like I said, you got to follow Juju on Instagram, because your Instagram is great to watch. It's like a world tour of cool things. But you are releasing on YouTube. You've got a new series. You're on YouTube and you're teaching people how to use nunchucks, correct?
Yes. Yes. I just started my YouTube nunchuck series, follow along nunchuck series, because I've been getting a lot of messages from my fans saying want to learn nunchucks from me. I did actually hold some seminars before, but now it's just hard, and also if I want to reach a broader audience, because I have many people requesting from different locations, it's actually better for me to just do it on YouTube so everyone can follow along. And so far it's pretty good. Like I've been getting a lot of very positive feedback and people are enjoying it. So I just released my fourth video this week, last week, and then I'm doing my next one now. So if you want to check out some YouTube nunchucks follow along with me, you can go to Juju Chanzito. Yeah.
Nice. Juju, sorry to put you on the spot, but you know what? I need live lessons right now. Let's go.
Hopefully you have my nunchucks here.
Juju, where's the off button on this thing? There's got to be an off button.
This guy needs a lot of help.
Okay, wow, here we go.
hairs. Well, oh, look. These are the hairs that I used in jiu-jitsu. So in jiu-jitsu, I was actually using
those. Aren't the padded ones either. Those are the real deal.
That's the real
deal.
Yeah. Smart. If you hit yourself with it, I'm sure you're going to bleed.
Juju, we have a lot of people on here that talk on our podcast. We cover everything. Mostly it's MMA focused, but we talk about like all kind of martial arts and combat sports. But we have had a few people that have come on because they were helping people with self-defense. And especially after, you know, what happened in the world with Stop Asian Hate and things like that, we had a couple of people come on that were doing seminars for women. We had one just recently, a couple of weeks ago, we had a young girl in San Diego who was putting on women's self-defense seminar. What would you suggest in terms of women that want to, or anybody that's looking for self-defense, what would you suggest in terms of like a certain martial art, or what kind of advice could you give to people for that?
I think BJJ is really, really useful and good and practical. Of course, for me, it's BJJ, you have to get over that comfort zone. Yeah, being really close, in a close proximity with the other person that you're training with. So I know a lot of girls might not be comfortable because it's, you know, a lot of very close contact moves, right. And someone have to be on top of you, or you have to be on top of other person. But I personally think BJJ it's practical. It's good for even kids to learn. And then another one will be Aikido for women to learn, because Aikido is also very good for smaller people to take on or larger people, bigger person. Okay. So, and also you don't really need a lot of power or force to do it, and you can still, you know, do self-defense. So I think Aikido is very, very good too. And different kinds of martial arts have their own way of giving you that self-defense, you know, training that you need. The most important is to find a martial arts that you like, a style that you like, and you can just keep training. And once you like it and you keep training, and you'll master it eventually. It's, you know, the more you practice, the better you'll be. And nice. and a lot of the time is your responsiveness. So the more you do it, the quicker you can respond to anything coming towards you, or how to defend yourself. And yeah, so find the martial arts that you like.
That's right. And
but do you, how long would it take to get to your level and like beat someone up in a kitchen? Like how long would it take? We need to be, you know, for the fans, we've got to be reasonable over here. We need a time frame, like by tomorrow.
Wow. Let me think. Well, for the kitchen, it's different. Every kitchen is also different depending on what you have in a kitchen. But I would say, I mean, I started training since I was 10 years old. So, and I keep training every single day. So don't think that like people who trained in the when they were like a kid, and then they got a black belt when they were a kid, and then they stopped training, and then now they can still like, you know, have the same skill level. It's not like that for martial arts. Once you stop, everything start going downhill.
Yeah.
You have to keep your skill level up. You have to keep training. Yeah. It's just like catching. If you have, you could do your full split really well, and then you just stop. And then in 2 years, you can't even split maybe 90 degrees. You know, like it's just that body's like that. You have to keep, training and
I can't believe when sometimes I watch your Instagram stories and you're doing like tornado kicks in the middle of the park, and you're putting on these amazing performances, and then you'll see in the background some guy just walking by, not even looking, just
okay.
Like, how does this guy pass by and not like stare at what you're doing?
Well, I actually picked a spot that's kind of you can't really see me there. It's surrounded by trees.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually, that was a really good spot, like a hiding spot. So I was doing my my filming there, no one noticed it. But that was also in Hong Kong. And also in Hong Kong, that park has a lot of martial artists training there.
Oh, okay.
So people are not really that like, whoa, there's a martial artist. Whoa, because everyone in that park
is a martial artist too.
Yes, are training. So it's actually really cool. Sometimes you can see them older folks there as well, like doing their swords, doing their Tai Chi and having a big mat. So yeah, that park is a martial arts park. It's a Kung Fu.
All right.
So yeah.
That's amazing.
Wait, no, Juju, the most impressive video that I saw was you rollerblading with nunchucks both hands. Like, talk about multitasking. Like that's insane. I can barely turn on the microwave and open the garage door. Like, I don't know.
That was actually my first time really rollerblading, roller skating. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I was having fun, and then I brought my nunchucks with me, and I was like, okay. I actually had this plan. I was like, once I can start rollerblading, you know, okay, then I'll start using my nunchucks. Let's see how it works. And then that day, after like an 45 minutes of training, and then I was like, oh, I'm pretty comfortable with it, so let's put the nunchucks in. So nice. Yeah.
Hey. If we see you in a movie where you're roller skating and doing nunchucks, we'll know where it all came from.
Like when I'm not shooting, I always try to find some new skills to learn. Nice. That's also my responsibility as a martial art action actress. I have to constantly like improving my skills and throwing in different things to put into with my martial arts, you know, moves to make it more. Yeah.
No, amazing. I'm just going to ask you one more question before we get to a couple fan questions. But I read in your intro that you had competed in some professional martial arts fights before. Seeing where women's martial arts is now and mixed martial arts and everything that's happening, do you ever wish that you had stayed with it professionally and been a professional fighter?
I think I would have enjoyed it as well, but I'm definitely more of an actress. Like I enjoy acting, being in front of playing different characters more than competing. If you have to have me pick.
Okay, well, we are extremely happy that you chose the acting gigs because we love them. I'm going to go to a few fan questions, if you don't mind, just before we let you go. First one is from our friends at MMA Social Squad. They're asking, nowadays, is it more or less popular to perform your own stunts? Like how, you know, like we hear Tom Cruise or Jackie Chan.
I think it really depends on the production. For me, I think definitely for martial arts fans, people who love action, really know martial arts, they would want to see the actors doing everything themselves. Because it's just a different level. And also even the camera placing, camera movement, everything can be longer takes. You can see everything. You can only do that if the actresses can do it. Okay. I think fans would really appreciate the actors doing it themselves.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. I think so. I agree. The next question, this is an easy one. At Jamieson asks, do you still have those stilettos with the hidden blades?
Actually, I do have it. So yeah, I have a pair. I got a pair sent to me actually last year. One of the wardrobe girls.
Yes. With the thing where you can take it off?
Yes, yeah. Someone sent it to me. It's so sweet. So I got it. I actually, it's like right now I kept it, stored it in a really safe place. I love those stilettos.
And our last question, a couple of weeks ago, we had a young girl in San Diego. She's one of the ones that did the Women's Self-Defense Seminar. Mm-hmm. Her name is Victoria Mackey. She's a great martial artist. She's a black belt in Kaju Kenbo. And I'm asking for her, what words of advice would you have someone looking to get into the movie industry?
Mm. I think surrounding or training with people who are also in the industry is very helpful. Like sometimes you might want to volunteer yourself to help out. If you have any action choreographer or stunt people or even any film that needs help, volunteer yourself to help, even for free at first, because you want the connection, you want to start working with people. Once people started working with you and like you and know your skills, they will most likely come back and work with you again and call you back, and then eventually build up more connections and starting to, you know, maybe act and take on some roles, and then you need to slowly build up your resumes and connection in this industry.
Nice, that's awesome. I will pass it on to her, Juju, because one day,
always keep up your skill, because that no one can replace any unique skills that you have.
Nice. Thank you so much, Juju. Juju, this was an absolute honor to have you on the show. We're so happy. Like, we've never had a movie star on, so we're so thrilled to have you. Thank you so much. Fistful of Vengeance comes out Thursday, February 17th on Netflix. Everybody has to watch it. Juju, thank you so much. You said that you kept your hair short after you liked it. I wonder if you'll keep some of those tattoos now after.
I really like these tattoos, but I think I'll keep them forever, because, like, yeah, I like to change things up once in a while. So just,
yeah, Juju, the neck piece really works well. Yeah, really well. There you go. Oh my goodness!
There we go.
You might as well get a whole face tat. That's it. The whole face.
That was actually the original idea, to have surrounding framing this part, maybe for my character. But I love coming up with, like, cool ideas for my character every time. Yeah, you'll see more different styles in the future.
We can't wait to see everything you do, Juju. Thank you so much for coming. All the best to you, and have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.